Oh, this one's wet. Might as well use this one, huh? All right, Ephesians chapter 6. We're coming down on the home stretch on this. And once we finish Ephesians here, we've got some things, Christmas coming up, and working on the building here. I'm gonna let the guys do some of the preaching, the staff do some of the preaching for a little bit. We're gonna try to trade it off on Sunday nights. I'm gonna do at least I think they're gonna do once a month, and I'm gonna do about twice. See how that works, and kind of hit some variety of things on Sunday night. Kind of give us a little bit of a smorgasbord for a while. Give us a break from these verse by verse type things. But these are good. You need these. You need these. I know it gets a little bit laborious sometimes, but you need these. And in fact, those messages that are those sugar sticks, you get up and you preach, and then it's just a great thing. You're ready to go out and attack hell with a squirt gun. Usually, if you don't know your Bible, you're not going to get it. But if you know the Bible, then they give you this point and give this point, and this point is like, wow, put it all together, let's go. You know, so you need all of this. It's all part of it. Like I said, I think it was in Sunday school. I said all good preaching has some teaching in it. All good teaching has some preaching in it. And I think that's the way it works. We're talking about the whole armor of God. And I'm going to begin reading in chapter 6, verse number 10. Now, we've talked about these first few verses. And, of course, the adversary, the devil. And we resist him by being steadfast in the flesh. Steadfast in the faith. And if we are steadfast in the faith, we resisting him, he will flee. If he can't get you to move, he'll go find somebody else to pick on. The fact is, he cannot do any more damage to us than the Lord will allow him to do. And if the Lord allows him to do some damage, then it's for our good. And so we need to remember that. And God has given us, fact is, we allow the old Satan to get the best of us because we don't put on the armor of God. And the armor of God, most of them are not offensive. They're really not even defensive. It's a matter of simply being steadfast. It's putting up a fortress and standing where you're supposed to stand. And I'll show you that in a little bit here. Chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong, next three words, in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on, how are we going to do that? Put on the whole armor of God. Now, why are we supposed to do that? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles, the trickery. And it has the feeling of to accompany you. He just sticks around like a bad nickel. He's just always there. You ever have a kid in school like that? And wherever we turn around, there was trouble. There he was. There he was. Well, that's the way Satan is. He's just always there. And he has the little wiles of the devil. He's tricking us. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, don't get afraid what man can do unto you. I mean, they can do a lot of things and so forth, and it looks hard, and usually it's because they're going to hurt our earthly realm, our earthly stand, our earthly position, our earthly wealth, our earthly power. We get all excited, whoa, because you know why we do? We trust those things. But that's nothing. God, listen, God made all this stuff. He can make some more if he needs it. You know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the hills and all the taters under the hills. So he can take care of us. Verse 13, wherefore, knowing everything we talked about, take unto you, receive it, seize it, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And there's evil days that come. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. How do you stand? Well, here's how we're going to stand. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, there's some others down there. We're not going to get that far tonight. We might not get any further than truth, but we'll see how we do. Stand therefore, and I think these two are one and two on purpose. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I realize that we probably have all heard messages on the armor of God. But we've been studying all the way through Ephesians, and we're not going to just bypass this. So we are going to look at this, and I want to look at it good. Especially now, we're going to look a little bit on truth, and because that's something we've touched all the time. We're going to look real hard, Lord willing, on righteousness if we get there tonight. But we're going to work real hard on that, and you'll see what I'm telling you. Let's pray, and we'll talk about truth and righteousness. Truth and righteousness. Father, again, we thank you for your word and for the truth that's in it. And Lord, the righteousness for that brings, the faith that it brings. So Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here this evening. We need your sword of your spirit. We need the power of your spirit. And Lord, even this evening, we need to stand strong in the power of your might. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. Lord, all those different needs, just like this morning. There's all so many different needs across the room here. And Lord, old devil will shout and roar and scream and try to scare us to get off the path and get us over into the briars. And Lord, we just need to stand steadfast in the faith. So now, Lord, we ask you to help. Give us your Holy Spirit. Give us your word. Speak to our hearts. Give us each exactly what we need. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We have an adversary who walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If we resist that devil, he will flee. And we resist him by being steadfast in the faith. I've said that over and over, but you've got to know those principles. You've got an adversary. He is the devil. He is trying to devour you. That's his goal. But if we resist him, he'll flee. And you resist him by being steadfast in the faith. Now, we're going to stand in the evil day. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And if we are going to be strong in the Lord, we must put on the armor of God. Not just some of it, but all of it. To only put on some means we think we are physically able or spiritually able to handle attacks that are open to that particular vantage point. That's stupid. It's very unwise. We need to have done all. So in having done all, we can stand. Remember, resisting the devil is not an all-out war. We are not flailing and throwing punches. We resist the wiles of the devil by being steadfast in the faith. We are not concentrating our efforts and energy on fighting wrong. Hang on. We are practicing and promoting right. Let me say that again. We can spend so much time fighting wrong, we're not promoting right. We resist him by being steadfast in the faith, in doing what he has called us to do. Those who live righteously contend with that, with wrong, with unrighteousness, the Bible tells us. So, we are practicing and promoting right, both in our own lives and in the lives of others. When we do right, according to the Word of God, according to what God wants us to do, we are living by faith. Because a lot of times doing right makes no sense. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Someone that diligently seeks God is someone who has decided to be steadfast in his faith in God. Diligently. So one who's resisting God by being steadfast in the faith has no need of seeking the demise of his attacker in order to find victory. You see, so often even Christians will try to attack and destroy somebody else because that's sin, and so I've got to destroy that. No. Especially when that person, it's a person. God died for that soul. We don't stand right by destroying someone else. We stand and we have the victory by being steadfast in the faith. We let God fight our battles. Like old Jehoshaphat, there may be times when you're going to go into battle and you're going to put the praise on the front end. You're meeting your attacker. You're meeting the enemy with praises to God. He's the one. And God says, well, I guess they're trusting me, so we're gonna let I'm gonna fight the battle for him. I'm gonna let them see that this is me. I'm the one to do it. Now let's put on the first two pieces of armor this evening. Number one, you don't want to hear this, but my watch stopped. So we could be here a long time. I do have a clock here. And I didn't look at it this morning because it was already an hour late, and I just kept preaching. But anyway, put on the whole, number one, put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor. I mentioned last time the letter A, the phrase put on means your line is to sink into, kind of like that feather tick. Just kind of ease down in it, let it kind of suck you in. Just let it kind of wrap itself right around you. Sink into it, be swallowed up by, covered by the armor, invested in, entrusted to its attributes, if you will, what it can do. Become one with it. Let it swallow you up. Listen, sometimes we're so busy trying to push ourselves forward, we don't even want to admit that we need God. He says, just let them see Christ. Just be swallowed up in the armor of God. Let it be the whole armor, the entirety. The entirety. Put on the whole armor. There's lots of pieces. Lots of pieces. And then letter C. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this letter because we've been here before. Letter C. The put on the whole armor. The implement. Here's your word. Tool. Tool. T-O-O-L. Tool. It's a utensil, if you will. It's a weapon. God has given a whole armor at your disposal. He's given you everything you need to have victory. The problem is we don't put it all on. Sometimes, it's cumbersome. It's heavy. It kind of cramps my style. You ever see somebody puts a coat of armor like a knight has, and you always have these jokes. About not being able to work. We were down on our vacation. We went to the medieval times, and I was waiting for some of them to come in with their armor. They had a little bit of armor, but they went on a spot. They had a little bit there, but you get hit with one of those lances. It's kind of like when Stir was real little, and he was you're going to do this winter because you're going to have kids in their snowsuits. And I remember Sterl, we had him in this gray snowsuit. I don't know why I remember this gray snowsuit. We put him in a snowsuit and put him in there. And then you put him in his little seat. And then you take him out and you put him on the ground. There he stood. And the wind would blow. And right in the snow. He couldn't move. Just kind of, there you were. And I know sometimes the armor seems to cramp your style. But listen, facts are, without the armor, we're open. We're a target. We're not protected. Oh, we think we can kind of jump around and get out of it, but we can't. We need the whole armor. Number two, the first piece of armor, truth is your strength. Truth is your strength. Verse 14 tells us, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. That word stand, number one, it means to abide on, to establish oneself. Stand, having your loins girt with truth. Establish yourself on truth. If you don't have truth, you really have nothing. Everything's up for grabs. Listen, if you're trying to find truth by all these folks who come near, whatever the consensus is on The View today or the girls talking here or whatever it is, it's crazy stuff. Is Dr. Phil still on? He's not even on anymore, is he? Is he anymore? You see? Everybody want to know what Dr. Phil said. What does Dr. Phil say? Where is he? There's been so many of these people come by, we all they'd all jump on the bandwagon. And yet God's Word still stands. Nothing has changed. It's still the truth. You've got to establish yourself on truth. It says, have your loins. Number two, your loins girt with truth. The word you're looking there is productive. Productive. And then I put the little R-E in there because it could also mean reproductive. If someone said, and the way the Bible says is, it came from, this child came from his loins. that there was a source of life there, if you will. But the loins, the thighs in that area is also the strongest part of your body. You go out and move pianos, they say, well, don't bend your back and do this. Bend down here, bend with your legs, and lift straight up. Why? Because that's the strongest part of your body. That's where strength is coming from. That's what's going to help you progress. That's what's going to help you get from here to here, to move on in your Christian life. He says you've got to have your loins girt. And the word girt there means to bind. Here's the word you're looking for. To fasten to oneself. To fasten oneself around, through. He says you need to take truth and wrap your strength in it. Wrap, it's your strength. Wrap what you think is your strength. Put it where the point of strength is. Truth is your strength. If you have not truth, you have nothing. You're going to be as a man who's tossed to and fro. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You are not going to be able to face the wiles of the devil, because if you don't know truth, you're a sucker for anything. You don't know, you're tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. Anybody that comes along that talks well and seems like they know what they're doing, you know what? You know what an expert is. Someone who comes from 50 miles away and carries a briefcase. And somehow we just ooh and ah because, ooh, he must really know what he's talking about. He's from Washington State. Truth. You've got to wrap your life around truth. Fasten it on you. Now listen, you get a bunch of things stuck around. You just got going to, where were we? We went over to Longhorn Steakhouse to have lunch the other day. And they had all the chaps hung on a rack over there on the side of the wall there. I don't know, it just seems like it would be weird. No wonder they walk like this, you know, like they got a diaper full or something. I don't know. But it's just, they have those chaps. That would just be really weird. But I tell you what, if that's what it takes to protect us, that's what it takes to get through the day, that's what we need. Truth is what we need. You got to have your loins girt, fastened, strapped on, and not let it go. Letter B, stand on truth. Stand on truth. The first portion of our armor is to hang on to and stand on truth. We need to be bound to truth. Even if truth seems to get in the way of motion and progress, we need to allow truth to bind us. Even if truth seems cumbersome and awkward. Listen, watch this. We are not to stand on error. It's a slippery slope. No matter where it comes from, no matter how well it's presented, no matter how slick it is, no matter how many other people are falling for it, if it goes against the Word of God, you don't stand there. We are not to stand on conjecture, guessing around. Well, I think this is, well, you know, we've had all the greatest minds thinking about this, and we have figured out that Noah's Ark never really happened. It was just something that was local, and we figured, oh, come on, like they were there. Don't stand on conjecture. No matter how credible the source appears. I'm sorry. If it goes against, you say, well, that's just narrow-minded. God's pretty narrow-minded. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He's pretty narrow-minded. I'll go with Him. To not be narrow, listen, some people are so narrow-minded, they don't think there is anything such as absolute truth. They're not willing to even think about that option. To me, that's narrow-minded. To not want creation in school is to be narrow-minded. I think they're scared. I really do. I think they're scared. I think after a while, if you actually tell them that God created these things, after a while they're going to say, how did this ooze up out of the mud? And if it was there, what made it come alive? And how can it have a mind, a will, an emotion, a soul inside? How could that happen? Well, it just happened. Pop! There it was. Psalm 119, 128 says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. You need to stand on truth. Letter C, God's Word is truth. God's Word is truth. I'm going to read some verses for you. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119, 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Psalm 119, 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Now, unless God's a liar, by the way, you can't pick and choose the part of the Bible you want to believe. Because I think this part's true, this part's not true, then you don't have a very big God. If God can't put his word all in one book, then how big a God is he? Well, believe in God. Well, then believe his book. Forever, his word is settled in heaven. Letter D, put on truth. God's word is the truth. Now put it on. Psalm 119, 28 says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. That's going to support me. Psalm 119, 30, I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Put it on. Psalm 119, 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. Now, I like that first one. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. There's way too many people that some guy who's kind of slick talking and says, well, you know, the Bible says. I saw that when I went to college the first time. First college was a secular college, and I had to take religion and philosophy courses. And we had a fellow who was an ordained Methodist minister that taught a class called Contemporary Religious Movement. And the fact is, it was pretty early on, I was saved and I knew it. But that's about all I knew about my Bible. Now, when I was sitting in church, I could say, well, this is true and this is true and this is true. And they said, oh yes, that's right. And it was true. But I didn't know the book well enough to say, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. And he would take verse and he'd pull it out of context. Well, the Bible says. And there were some young folks in our class who were Christians. And I saw him strip them of all the faith they had because they could not refute what he said because they did not know the Bible. Too many people are going to church for a pep rally. Just make me feel good so that I can face the world and the flesh again. And they do not know the Word of God. And they wonder why they cannot stand, but we got to stand in truth. Having our loins, the power of who we are, girt about with truth. I'll be honest, listen, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to preach the Bible, and that's going to be our focus if there's nobody here but my family and myself. If everybody else wants to go, I'm not saying you do, you got good folks in here, but they all want to go get the hoopla and the la-di-da and the ooh baby sisters and the boogie-woogie boys, and that's where they want to church, that's fine. But I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to stand in front of God and try to give an account to him and having said, well, entertaining, we had a lot of folks here. I knew a church years ago, they were a good church, and they weren't doing much on Sunday morning, but every once a month they said, we pack it out. This is our attendance numbers for the month. That's because on Saturday night they bring in some quote-unquote Christian artist, charge 10, 12 bucks a head, open up the big auditorium, fill it up, and have a concert. And they counted that as church. Now, if you all want to get together and listen to, if it happens to be good music and you want to do that, that's fine, that's your business. But that's not church. The Lord's Day, we're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to enter and hear what God has to say. It's the Word of God. It's truth. Proverbs 3:3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let it get away from you. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Jesus is that way, the truth, and life. Letter E. Truth is your friend. Truth is your friend. Don't let it get away. Truth will never fail you. Oh, it might get you in trouble once in a while, but with the people who don't like truth. I'd rather be in trouble with the people who don't like truth than be in trouble with the one who is truth. Don't worry about him who can, you know, who can kill your body. But you listen, you fear the one that can send your soul to hell. That's the one. Now, if you're saved, you're saved. You know what I'm talking about. But listen, that's the one that we need to be talking about. Satan's the old liar. I put down there Psalm 1. I've quoted that so many times, you can probably quote it by now. But listen, we got blessed the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the court scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But it doesn't stop there. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Keep the word of truth before you. Satan's a liar. John 8:44, go back and look at it. Our strength is truth. If we know the truth and live by it, we will be strong. If we don't know the truth, we're going to be at the mercy of old Satan himself. Satan lies cannot hurt us if we know the truth. And if we know truth, we're not vulnerable to the lies of Satan. We've talked about the Word of God 12, I don't want to sidestep that. You've got to have your loins, your strength, bound by truth. Let me give you number three. Got a few points, and then we're gonna drive it home with some scripture. So keep your Bible ready, okay? Righteousness, number three, is your safety. Righteousness is your safety. I was trying to come up with some good metaphors here, but something to compare it to. It's kind of like a preemptive deployment. It's not a preemptive attack, but we're preparing ahead of time so that the attack has no effect on us. Let me explain. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And then it says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having on. That's that same word, means sink into. To be totally enveloped in. It's that same thing. Have the breastplate of righteousness. Now, you know what the breastplate is? I mean, it's this piece. It's not the shield. It's not the helmet. It's not the strength. It's not these guards on your thighs. It's not that. It's literally the bodice, if you will. The breastplate. It's this piece of steel that goes around your abdomen. Why? Because that's where the vital organs are. You read the Bible and it says, and he struck him under the fifth rib or something. Isn't that what it says all the time? And he struck him under. Why? Because that's where the vital organs are. Having on, sinking to, totally enveloped, it says the breastplate to cover the chest. To cover the chest, to protect your vital organs. It's like a bulletproof vest. Now watch me. There are some appendages that I would rather not lose, but I could live without them. You know, you can live out without a finger. You can live without some toes. To be honest with you can live without an arm. Talk about Civil War. You know, they did. You know, often they were wounded and they didn't know what to do with it, so they just cut it off. But they cut it off so that the infection and the wound wouldn't kill the rest of the body. But as long as this part's still doing well and this part's doing well, you know, you may not be able to do everything you want to do, but you're alive. But without that breastplate, we are really vulnerable. We're out in the open. We are just flesh. I mean, we wear gloves just to work because we're going to slice a finger, wear it through, whatever. I mean, flesh is not all that tough. It's not alligator skin. It's flesh, and it tears. It opens up. You know, we could even survive without an eye if you had to, or an ear. But you can't survive without a heart. You can't survive without the breath of life in the lungs. You can't survive without a liver. You've got to have those things. The breastplate protects the heart of who you are. The Bible calls them, you know, in his bowels he felt, in the reins. That means down in the depths of who he is. That's what the breastplate of righteousness is protecting. The very heart of who you are. We just kind of say, well, I got the shield of faith. I got the sword of the Spirit. I got the helmet of salvation. Oh, we got that breastplate thing too. He put it right up top, as right next to truth. We need the breastplate of righteousness. Letter B, watch this. Now, hang on with me. I hope you'll catch my thought here. Righteousness keeps us out of enemy territory. Righteousness keeps us out of enemy territory. It runs interference, if you will. It's kind of like an internet firewall. It stops you before you go someplace you have no business going. The breastplate of righteousness says, I'm going to do right. If I will do right, I'll never even be in that mess. I won't even be in the line of fire. I'm not going to go there. Let us see. Righteousness protects your life by simply keeping you out of the line of fire. We all think that righteousness is an option. I'm saved, everything's good. Oh, my soul. People are, listen, I understand. I remember, you know, being 18 and I saw some girls in school and I thought, well, they're pretty cool. I like them, you know. And I wanted to marry a musician. There was one gal who was a real good piano player and so forth. And we, you know, we spent a little time together here and there. And then we were someplace and I was a Christian, but I just wasn't necessarily separated, but did have a little sense. And I remember one night I turned around and we were with some friends and there she was with a drink in her hand. And it wasn't Coke. Now, she wasn't a big drinker. She wasn't really, and she was just kind of doing it because everybody else was. But I could just see the thorns and snares down the road. Now, maybe it won't be a problem, but maybe it would. I had another gal. We were talking. We were chatting. And all of a sudden, just to be cool, she let this kind of run of words go out and, I don't want a gal that does that. I come to the place, really, now, like I was a real old bachelor, I was 18. But I had come to the place that the kind of woman I wanted to marry did not exist. I wasn't running with the right crowd, that's honest goodness. I wasn't running in the right circles, I wasn't going to the right place. But I thought the kind of girl I wanted didn't exist. And I said, you know what, I'd rather be single than messed up with the wrong thing. Because you see, if you say I'm going to live righteous, that spares me from being underneath, well, being out on the firing line. That's where it does. Now, not too long after that, I ran into this little gal and found out she had kind of done the same thing. She said, I don't want to mess with a man. That's too much trouble. I don't see many other stuff going on. And then she saw me. Da 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 da. She made the first move, just so you know. And she says, I'm going to go get something to eat. You want to come along? And I said, you wait 5 minutes. We were both teaching music at a studio. And it was a Saturday morning. I said, you wait 5 minutes, I'll be done. I'll come along. The rest is history. But too many people say, well, they're saved. I can marry them. Do they wear a breastplate of righteousness? Well, they don't have, well, I'm not sure even have one. Then maybe that's not the person. Because you see, when you become one with, you get married and you become one with that person, when they get hurt, you get hurt. When they go down in flames, you go down in flames. It protects us. Letter D, righteousness is essential for a victorious life. Listen to me. Righteousness is essential for a victorious life. It's not an option. Righteousness is not something that is nice for you to put on if you happen to go that far in your Christian walk with God. Righteousness is not considered optional if we are going to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me give you letter E. To not be righteous is to be unrighteous. Doesn't mean doesn't mean you not do it? You take it off, take it away, not there? To not be righteous is to be unrighteous. Now the fact is, we all have some unrighteousness in us. None of us are perfect. We're all sinners. That's why we got to confess our sins faithful. You know, and he's faithful and just forgive us our sins. That's all there. I understand that. Now, and David was a man after God's own heart. Did he get himself in trouble? Yes. Did he confess his sin? Yes. Did God forgive him? Yes. There were still snares, still problems. There's a couple wounds because he took off his breastplate of righteousness and got himself in trouble. We keep that breastplate of get up in the morning, put on, say, you know what? I am not going to let the fiery darts of old Satan get me. Now, I know I got a shield of faith, and that keeps a lot of them away. I understand that. That's good. But the fact is, that shield doesn't cover everything. Well, I believe. That's good. Live like you believe. We cannot be, watch, we cannot be resisting the wiles of the devil and escaping their damage if we're living in unrighteousness. Righteousness makes no provision for the flesh. Righteousness makes no place for the devil. Righteousness flees youthful lusts. You keep no place for the devil, no provision for the flesh, fleeing the youthful lusts. I'll tell you what, that will keep you out so much. That will guard you so much in your life. Spare you many, 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 many wounds. And if you're not careful, some of those wounds can be fatal. Letter F. Righteousness leads to health. And I'll show you this in a second. And G, unrighteousness leads to hurt. Just settle it. Want to live happy and healthy? Live righteously. And they say, well, I'm not sure I know that. Well, it's all in the book. Listen, read Proverbs every day. Read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Today's what, the first? Oh, today's a good day. Go home and start. So I miss tomorrow, then hit it next month. Whatever the day is, read that proverb. Now, if you got time to go back, go back. But there's so many people, well, I missed the day, so I messed it up. Most of it isn't bothering. Just keep going. Listen, God's got it all mixed up in there. Wherever you start, it's all good. Just get some of it. Get some of it. So letter G, unrighteousness leads to hurt. Proverbs 3, did I give that to you? 3, 5, and 8. 3, 5, and 8. Look what it says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Listen, I'll tell you one thing. You won't worry yourself to death. Now, you adults, too many folks go out there and sow their wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. And they do so in many ways. Do some things. Well, I don't know. It's going to get. I wonder if it's going to get. I did so. What if anybody saw that? Maybe if we don't go there in the first place, you'll sleep a little better. So now I got a whole bunch of scripture. Once you get your Bible out, I gave you a bunch of. Oh no, I wrote them all out, didn't I? Oh, I sure did. I made them small so we get them all there. Now I can't preach every single one of these. Breathe sigh of relief right there. But let me read through there. I want you to just see, you got my point. The breastplate of righteousness means that I will guard who I am. I will guard my life if I just live righteously according to his book. It's a little cumbersome. Look at it. Psalm 5:12. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. with favor wilt thou compass him, watch it, as with a shield. Now, there's so many people think, well, if I'm righteous, then God's going to like me, and so he's put a special shield around me. That's not what he's saying there. He blesses righteousness. With favor wilt thou compass him. He will put around him a shield. If you're living righteously, you're walking where righteousness is, you're protected. Oh, there's other things, there are other ways that old Satan may come, but it's no sense in having those things, things that we could have avoided. No sense in the world to be in the middle of those things. Psalm 32:10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about and close him in. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. He says, you trust in him, God's going to compass you about. Be glad about that, the righteous. Because he is the righteous that trust in him. Psalm 34:12. What man is he that desires life? You want to live? You want a nice life? And loveth many days. You want to live a long time? You want to live life and you may see good. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open until their cry. He's right there. He's at hand. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, what's that getting there? You got to have enough self-realization of our weakness to be willing to humble yourself enough to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Sin scares me. Scares me. I was one of those kids, if when the teacher went out of the room, of course, they thought I was a wimp. But a teacher would go out of the room, and off they go. You know, they would start doing all those things. I'd go find a seat in the back where I wasn't anywhere around any of it, and I'd sit down. And when the teacher came back, and all the stuff was going on, I wasn't anywhere near it. And I did that enough times that I remember one time I was called into the principal's office right before lunch. And some kid, I'm not going to go through it all, had accused me of stealing his hearing aid. Long story. But I remember when I got to the door, and they said, Sterling Walsh, please come to the principal's office. I must have turned three shades of green. I don't know what it was. And my teacher says, oh, Sterl, don't you worry about that. I'm sure it's nothing. It can't be anything. Well, I got in there, and the Board of Education was there, and this kid and his father, man, I won't go into all this. Oh, I didn't take his hearing aid, by the way, but having proved myself all those other times, it gave me the benefit of the doubt. I'm just saying, you do right, and you know what they usually, there's Sterl, he's chicken to do all this stuff, you know, he's chicken. I'm not chicken. I can fly an airplane. I'm not scared of flying airplanes. But that's not what she wants me to do. That's not right now. Just stay out of it. And it pays. Verse 19, watch this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. There, we've got a difference between him who wears a breastplate of righteousness and him who doesn't. He who doesn't. Psalm 37:17. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, for the Lord upholdeth the righteous. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Proverbs 2, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler, a hedge, a protection, a shield, a protector. The breastplate. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Pulls him out and puts the wicked in there and lets him have it. Though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous shall hope in his death. The house of the righteous is much treasure, but the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The righteous men wisely consider the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. They're always looking over their shoulder. Done something, I've got to be bound to get me. But the righteous are bold as a lion. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Just put it on. It keeps you out of the fire. It keeps you protected. It keeps you from the harm that just comes from wickedness, comes from unrighteousness. Just stay away from it. Number four, getting down here. Number four, we choose to put on righteousness. You can say it this way. Putting on righteousness is our choice. We choose. We guard ourselves from the dangers and the perils of sin by simply living righteously. But this is nobody's choice but our own. We can escape the wiles of the devil by simply resisting him, and resisting him by being steadfast in the faith. Being steadfast in the faith dictates that we live according to the commands and the promises of God rather than the tyranny of our own fleshly desires. This is righteousness. We make no provision for the flesh or a place for the devil. Proverbs 4:23 says, listen, by the way, what did I say? Breastplate guards the heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep, hedge, protect, guard, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What you allow into your heart will probably affect you the rest of your lives. Well, I can look at these things on the internet just a little while. Well, I'll just sit over here and just kind of keep an eye on her. Well, I'll read this romance novel and it won't matter. Well, I'll just look at this little thing on YouTube. It won't matter. We've left the breastplate of righteousness at home. We're letting things in. And it's the wiles of the devil. He's not coming at you with horns and a red suit and a pitchfork and a long tail. He's coming to you as your buddy, your angel of light. I remember when I was a kid, I had a kid come up to me, I mean a little kid. He says, if you give me a nickel, I'll be your friend. Who wants a friend? It's borrowing money. I just didn't understand. Never understood that thing. Give me a nickel, I'll be your friend. Satan comes along and says, I'll give you everything. You just be my friend. But then there's a small print. And in the small print, he gets everything. Righteousness spares us from sin. The wages of sin is death. If we do not put on the breastplate of righteousness, we are open target for the wickedness of our adversary, the devil, to attack the vital organs of life. I mentioned a little while ago, what if David had just put on righteousness that day instead of giving in to the flesh? He could have saved a lot of problems. Think of the heartache and the damage done to Samson because he just never wore a breastplate of righteousness. He was anointed of God to begin to deliver Israel. And God used him. God used him to do great things for Israel. But old Samson lost everything. Daddy says, aren't there any girls in Israel that you can marry? You got to go down there to the enemy and get them? I want her, Daddy. Go get her for me. Runs around with Delilah. Gets ready to have a party. Who does he bring to the party? All the guys down there. He wasn't supposed to be there. He didn't put on his breastplate of righteousness. I've personally seen the lives of many people, both teens and adults, go down in a blaze of fire simply because they thought they could handle life without purposely strapping themselves in and binding themselves with the obligation to live righteously. If they would have just done right, they would have spared themselves many heartaches, losses, wounds, scars. The Bible says, be sure your sins shall find you out. Now I want to show one thing and I'll be done. Turn to Proverbs 7 real quick. And I'm done. I know it's time to be out of here. With this in mind, listen. Truth is your strength. Truth is your friend. God's word is truth. Bind yourself with truth. Righteousness protects your life. Righteousness protects the vital areas of your life. Righteousness is essential for a victorious Christian life. To not be righteous is to be unrighteous. And righteous leads to health. Unrighteousness leads to hurt. It is your choice to put it on. Look at Proverbs 7. My son, keep my words. Lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. You know what I mean? Put your breastplate of righteousness on, it'll save your neck. And my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them. Bind them. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. And call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. So in other words, if I put on righteousness, I'll stay away from the temptation. They may keep thee from the strange woman, with the stranger, with flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man, stupid, void of understanding. That was the lack of truth. But because he had the lack of truth, he didn't have enough sense to stay away from sin and live and keep the breastplate on. Verse 8, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She's loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she's without, now in the streets, lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him. You know why she caught him? He didn't put the breastplate of righteousness on and stay away from it. That's why he caught him. She caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said, with an I'll do as I please face, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Oh, I'm religious. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. She's laying on thick, isn't he? I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved work, with fine linen of Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love unto the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man's not at home. He's gone a long journey. He's taken a bag of money with him. We'll come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flatting of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through
his liver. He didn't put on the breastplate of righteousness.
As a bird, I mean, just jumping in the snare. As a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it's for his life. Hearken to me now, therefore, all you children. Tend to my words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell and going down to the chambers of death. Please put on the breastplate of righteousness. It'll save your life. Father, thank you again for speaking to us. Thank you for your word. And Lord, help us to heed the warning, heed the call. Thank you for these dear folks and their faithfulness to hear your word. Use this time. Heads are bowed.